yesterday, today, and forevermore will be our promise keeper, our miracle worker, the light in our darkness. And we thank you, God, that we can declare that this evening, that truth, that that is who you are. That is who you are to me. That is who you are to us. And we are so grateful. We are so grateful that you are our faithful, faithful Father. And we thank you for bringing us here, Lord, so that we could declare these truths this evening over our lives, over our situations. Lord God, for whatever we're going through, whatever we're standing in the midst of right now, that we can declare that you are our way. You are our way through it, Lord God. And we thank you for that, that we can hold on to the hope that we profess because we can trust you, God, to keep your promise. Because you are the promise keeper. We thank you for that, Lord God. And as we enter into your word yet again, we thank you, Lord God, that tonight's word is a confirmation of that. That that is who you are. And that is who Abraham knew you to be. So we thank you, God, that we can trust in you. We thank you, Lord, that we can bring to you this evening all the cares of today, knowing that you have the ability to cast them out and replace them with your peace. So we thank you for that, Lord. As we open up your word, Lord, open up our hearts that we may receive from you this evening. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. You may take your seats. Well, good evening. Welcome to Women to Women. It's great to see you. We don't have any new ladies in tonight, but we have some returning ladies. So it's great to have you back with us this evening. We are in session 5, as Susan has shared. I don't know where this series has gone. Thank you to Mary for leading the last 2 Friday mornings at Women to Women, and she has done an excellent job in my absence. Just a couple of things I wanted to share with you, as we haven't been able to update you on that. Sadly, we have 2 ladies have stepped down from the Women to Women team. The Women to Women team, as you know, is a very busy, busy team, and it requires a lot of commitment. So sadly, our Diane and our Ruth have stepped down. They have other commitments in their lives right now. But we just want to say, neither of them are here this evening, but I just wanted to say publicly how grateful we are to both Diane and to Ruth for all their contribution to the team. They have served God and his kingdom well. And I know that he will be sharing with them, well done, my good and faithful servants. So we're thankful to Diane and to Ruth. A new addition, not to the Women to Women team, but to the Abide team, which is the prayer and devotional that that Susan mentioned earlier. Diane will be replaced by the lovely Stuart Young. And if you don't know Stuart, then you need to get to know Stuart. He's a lovely young man, and he leads at Montecrew, and he is joining the Abide prayer and devotional. So that's a wonderful addition to what is already a wonderful team. So that's a couple of announcements I wanted to mention before we move on. So how does it make you feel to know that you too, like Abraham, are a friend of the Most High King? Yes, you can claim that for yourself this evening, that you are God's friend. If you've given your life to Jesus, you can be assured of that title, that you are God's friend. So far in this series, we have journeyed through the life of Abraham. We have seen him come to know God and learn to call on the name of the Lord. Do you know that you can trust in the name of the Lord God? So what are the headings that we have looked at so far? Let's have a little review. So we have seen him leave it all behind. The past, the people, the old ways, the physical location. We saw him uproot and move with his family to where God was leading him. So we left it all behind. And perhaps as we went through that series, you were thinking about the things that you've perhaps left behind in order to embrace a relationship with Jesus. Then we moved on. We saw how Abraham let everything go. How he gave up on earthly treasures. How he gave up in the battle with Lot in the pursuit of God. He was the peacemaker in that situation. Then last week, we looked at the fact that Abraham was a man of prayer. And we read and we heard last week that he lifted everything up. So leaving it all behind, which took 2 weeks, let everything go and lifting everything up. So there is a lot in tonight's session, ladies. And so Susan was right, fasten your seatbelts, quite right, because we're going to get through a lot tonight. And we're going to look at a very well-known part of Abraham's life, which I'm sure you will know very well if you know the story of Abraham. However, our title for tonight, for those of you that I know that keenly take notes, is Casting Everything Out. So we're casting everything out. Raise your hand if you've ever moved house. Carmen, just moved into our first house last week, our very own home. Isn't that a great achievement? That deserves a round of applause. We're very proud of you, Carmen. So quite a few of us, what do we do when we're moving house? Well, this is what I have done in the past. I wonder if this is the same as you. In preparation for moving house and moving on to that new place, what we will do is we'll have a good clear out. Am I right? Yeah, we clear out, we get all the boxes out, and we cast out everything that we do not want to take to that brand new home. All your clothes are welcome with me, Carmen. I wear quite a lot of Carmen's cast-offs. We clear out in order to embrace the new, don't we? We don't want to take that that's old into that brand new house. We cast out in order to embrace the new. We cast out in order to prepare for the new. We make space for that new thing in our lives. It reminds me of the Christian life. As before we gave our life to Jesus, we perhaps were carrying around a lot of baggage, yeah? A lot of stuff that when we entered into that new relationship with Jesus, that we no longer needed to carry. We became a Christian. We gave our life to Jesus. We realized that we don't need to carry around all of that junk anymore, so we cast it off. We cast it into the hands of Jesus. 1 Peter 5 verse 7 says, give all your worries and your cares to God because he cares for you. Other translations say, cast it all over to God because he cares for you. The Bible also says that when we become a Christian, when we invite Jesus to come into our hearts, the Bible says we become like a brand new person, right? So maybe you're here and you're not sure what that means. Let me just explain to you that you realize at some point that God sent his son, Jesus Christ, the most precious thing that he had, and he gave up his son's life for our life so that our sins could be forgiven because he loved us. It was out of love that he did that for us. And when you realize that God loved you so much that he gave Jesus, you can't help but want to say to Jesus, Jesus, I want you in my life for all that you've done for me, for saving me. And the way that we invite him in is simple, a simple prayer that says, Father, I believe that you love me. I believe that you sent Jesus to die for me. I'm sorry for my sins. Come into my heart. Forgive me of my sins. I want to walk with you, Jesus. That's how we become a Christian. So just in case you're here and you're wondering, well, how do I become that new creation? Because the Bible says you're a new creation when you do that. Therefore, anyone who is in Christ, the new creation has come and the old has gone and the new is here. The old is gone. The past is gone. The mistakes that you made are gone. The sin that you committed has been forgiven and you become a brand new person. That's why it's often referred to as a born again believer. The old has been cast off in order to embrace the new life in Jesus. Amen. Hallelujah. So think for a moment about the old that was cast off when you became a Christian. What old habits, old ways, old thought patterns and preconceived mindsets. Perhaps it was negative thinking that was cast out in order to receive his peace-filled thoughts. Perhaps it was addictions and toxic habits that were harmful to you that were cast off in order to receive the plans and the purposes that God's got for you. That's what Christ has done for us. He cast off all negativity, all toxicity, all sin, anything and everything that would hinder us so that we could embrace his love and embrace the plans that he had for us. All of that is true and all of it is biblical. Trust me, it is. And if you've given your life to Jesus, then it is true of your life, that you are that new creation. However, if that is true and biblical, which we're in agreement, I think, that it is, then why are we not living as that new creation? You see, some of us are not living in the new. Some of us are still weighed down and hindered. Abraham walked with God. He had a close relationship with the Father. We've seen that already in this study. So why then, at times, did he fall back into old ways and old habits? The old Abraham. I've mentioned this several times already this year because it's all connected. The words that God spoke to me for the vision for this ministry and the words that God spoke to me for the vision for this church and for my life this year are all connected. And it's all about living the unhindered life that Jesus died for us to live. To run the race set before us. To run the race unhindered. But at times, let's be honest, we run way down, don't we? It's not a fast-paced race. Running with Jesus, sometimes we're actually dragging ourselves, aren't we, over that line. And many of us fall at times, and we fall back into old ways because we get distracted. At times we allow the negative thoughts back in, let's be honest. We start to have those negative thoughts again. We go back to those old relationships again, those old friendships. We pick the phone up. I think I'll phone this person when you know they're toxic, when you know that they're no good for you. And we see it in Abraham's life. Yes, we're looking at him as a hero listed in the Hall of Faith in Hebrews. Yes, he was a righteous man, a friend of God. Yes, he had a close relationship with God, but at times he failed. He messed up. There were times that he made his own decisions instead of following God's choices for his life. What about you? Does this happen in your life at times? Let's look at Abraham then. We know that God has made this covenant with Abraham. It was an agreement, a promise that he would be with him. And not only did he promise Abraham that he would be with him, but he promised him that he would grant him the desires of his heart. God promised Abraham that through him, that a mighty nation would be born. Now this was everything that Abraham and Sarah, his wife, wanted to hear. Why? Because they were desperate for a child. They were desperate for a baby. They were struggling to conceive. Hearing this promise must have been so special to the couple, especially after all the years that had passed, waiting and waiting for their desire to come through. Now, in that moment of promise, they must have felt such encouragement when God said, "You're going to have your own child. A mighty nation is going to be born out of you." What an encouragement! But the days passed, the weeks passed, the months and years passed, and that promise hadn't come to light yet. And perhaps you're here this evening, and as we shared last week, there's something that you're holding onto. There is a promise that you're holding onto. There is a desire of your heart that you haven't yet seen come to fruition yet, and it's been hard to wait for it. It's been hard to wait, patient, continuing to trust God. Can I encourage you this evening by sharing with you that God has not abandoned you? He is still with you. He has supplied us with his word, with his promise that will fill us with hope and confidence and assurance that he will come through on his promise. If he has promised you that, he will come through. Abraham and Sarah, we know, did not have the word. They didn't have the holy word that we have in our hand today. But they had God's word. Dear sister, you too have God's word. If we look quickly at chapter 18, the Lord appeared to Abraham and Sarah many times. We've seen that already. And here's just one other time in which he appeared to them. The Lord visited Abraham and Sarah, and he came to their home. And he came to their home in the presence of three angels, because he's God, and he can do that. He can do anything. And the three angels Abraham welcomed into his tent, and he invited them to dine. And Abraham called Sarah to bring out the food and the drink. So let's read the conversation that the angels have with Abraham and God's word to them. "Where is your wife, Sarah?" they asked him. "Over there in the tent," he said. Then one of them said, "I will surely return to you about this time next year, and your wife, Sarah, will have a son." Sarah was listening at the entrance to the tent, which was behind him. Abraham and Sarah were already very old. Sarah was too old to have a baby. So she laughed to herself. She thought, "I'm worn out, and my husband is old. Can I really know the joy of having a baby?" Then the Lord said to Abraham, "Why did Sarah laugh? Why did she say, 'Will I really have a baby now that I am old?'" Verse 14, "Is anything too hard for me? I will return to you at the appointed time next year. Sarah will have a son." Sarah was afraid, so she lied and said, "I didn't laugh." But the Lord said, "Yes, you laughed." Wow. What an exchange. Here we have God showing up, revealing himself to this couple once again. I mean, how many times is God actually going to show up for this couple and speak to them? Reassuring them once again of his promise. Here he's telling the couple, "Listen, guys, this is going to happen for you." In fact, he gives them a date. "This is going to happen for you. This time next year, you will have a son." What is he saying to them? Keep the faith. Dear sister, your circumstance might not be the same as this. It might be, but it might be something slightly different or completely different. But what I believe God is saying to you, dear sister, tonight for your situation is keep the faith. Hold on in there. We see in Sarah's reaction, she's just not sure, is she? She's not believing it. Perhaps she's given up. You know, if Sarah came from the west of Scotland, what she was really saying was, I write. I believe it when I see it. What do we see here in that? It's pain. What's behind that sarcasm? It's pain. It's disappointment. It's weariness. It's weariness because I've prayed and I've prayed and I've prayed and I've waited and I've waited and I've waited. It's maybe even bitterness. The years have taken their toll on poor Sarah, and she's having a wobble in her faith. I wonder if you've lost faith. I wonder if you've given up. Let me encourage you. Not of my words. Don't believe me. But verse 14. Hear this tonight. "Is anything too hard for me?" That's what God says, not me. That's what God says to you for your situation that you face right now. "Is there anything, dear child, that is too hard for me?" That health report that's just weighing you down, that you're thinking, "Am I ever going to get through this?" He's saying to you, "That's not too hard for me. That relationship situation, that friendship that's broken, that marital relationship that's broken right now, God is saying, is there anything too hard for me? No, there isn't. He is God the Almighty. Nothing is impossible with God. Is there anything too hard for me? Sarah is not at the point of believing it yet. She's not living like a new creation, is she? Because she's allowing those old tempting thoughts to come in. Those doubts, she's slipping back into old ways, old patterns, old behaviors, old mindsets. And when we do that, it prevents us from hearing God, hearing the truth. Thinking, do you know what? I'm fed up waiting on you, God. So I'm just going to do it my way. I'm just going to push through because, do you know what, God? Your way is taking too long. Your way is taking far longer than I ever expected. And I'm actually fed up waiting. That's what Sarah's saying. Here's the thing. God is big enough to hear that prayer if that's your prayer. Okay? Rather than taking matters into your own hands, what you'd be better doing is telling God that's how you feel. Getting it off your chest. But you see, Sarah didn't do that, did she? No. The new nature is saying, you don't need to do it this way. You don't need to think that way. You can choose another way. You can choose to have this thought. But the old nature is saying, no, 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 do it this way. Take spending money. I'm good at spending money, my husband says. The new creation inside of me is saying, Debbie, you do not need another pair of shoes. But the old fleshy nature inside of me is saying, go on. It's only one more pair that you can't get into your wardrobe. It's only a little bit of debt. The old nature is saying, go on. Just do it. Go on, just have one. Won't cause you any harm. But the new nature is crying out, walk away. There is another way. And this is when we enter into the battle with the old self and the new self. This is when we need to cast off the old in order to embrace the new. In this moment, let me tell you something. Not only are you in a battle, but Satan is prowling around you like a roaring lion looking to tempt you to choose the old ways. The ways that you cast off. He's looking to tempt you to pick them back up again. You know what I'm talking about. And we see this in Abraham's life. Yes, he's forgiven. Yes, he's free. Yes, he's loved by God. But he still makes the wrong decisions at times. Why? Because he goes back to his old self. His old ways. His old habits. His old thought processes. Sometimes as Christians, it can be difficult to make the right decision. I know that. I understand that. It's maybe not a decision that seems complicated for non-believers, straightforward for them, but it is for us. Because we're held accountable, aren't we, to the Holy Spirit who's prompting us to choose the new. There's a battle going on in our lives between the old nature and the new, and only one of them will win. As Christians, the Holy Spirit lives in us. You've heard of the Holy Trinity, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Abba, Father, God of Creator. He created Jesus, his Son. He gave us his Son. Jesus died and was raised to heaven. But he didn't abandon us. He left us with our friend, his Spirit, the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit lives in every believer. But there are old ways and old habits that have been part of us for years and years. Before we maybe met him. Before we embraced him, before we invited him into our hearts, there was old ways and old habits. And sometimes, some of them can be stubborn. And we need the Holy Spirit to help us to cast them out. Can't do it on our own. We need to rely on him. In order to live in your new nature, there are some things that we need to make a decision that needs to be cast out. Casting everything out. Old habits need to be put to death. Old addictions, old ways need to be cast out. And as we continue today, I want you to be thinking of some of the things that perhaps you need to cast out. Yes, you're walking with Jesus. Yes, you're a born-again believer, a new creation. But perhaps there are some old ways of thinking, some old habits that need to be cast out, that need to be put to death. So we know Abraham wasn't perfect. We saw that when he made a little detour to Egypt, when that was not at God's request. We saw him try to flog off his wife as his sister. We saw in that episode that that only led to further devastation. I would like to say that he didn't make that mistake again. But here's some reading for your own time. Genesis 20. You will read in there that Abraham commits the exact same mistake. He does it again. Tries to flog her off as his sister again. And we've mentioned these moments in our life. Britney Spears moments. Oops. I did it again. Oh no. I did it again. Maybe it's a particular way that you respond to others. Maybe you keep getting irritated all the time. Or perhaps you're still battling with that anger that keeps raising itself up in your heart. Perhaps it's gossip. You can't seem to stop it. You keep talking about other people. Or perhaps it's thinking negatively. You continue to think those negative thoughts. I can't do that. I'll never do this. Or perhaps it's a habit that you just can't seem to break. We call this reoffending. In the Christian life, we enter into a sin cycle and we just can't seem to break it. But in order to break it, we need to cast it off. We need to put it to death. You see, we have a choice what we feed. We can either feed our old nature or we can feed the new. You've heard of the proverb of the black and white dog. And they're fighting together. Which dog is going to win? Which one will win the fight? Well, the proverb goes, the one that you feed will be the one that will win. So are you feeding the old fleshy nature or are you feeding the new? So let's look at the big mistake that Abraham and Sarah made. We all know that they were struggling to conceive. Yes, God had promised them that they would have their own child, but it was becoming hard, especially for Sarah. We've talked about why it was difficult for her. Well, in chapter 16, we read that Sarah had an idea. What did we hear last year in our series of David about ideas? Not all of our ideas are God ideas. We read that she decides to take matters into her own hands. Chapter 16. I'm not going to read it all, because I know you know this story. Let me give you the highlights, okay? Sarah, filled with devastation, filled with disappointment, desperate to have a baby, watching everybody else, probably acted as midwife for many other people in the camp, watched other people bring their child into the world, and was devastated because she was carrying her own pain. So she decides, you know what? I'm not going to wait any longer. I'm fed up with this. I call them DIY disasters. So she hatches a plan. She doesn't discuss it with God. She doesn't ask God if it's a good idea. A bit like her husband when he went to Egypt. He didn't discuss it with God. Didn't ask God if it was a good idea. This is the plan. I know what we'll do, Abraham. You will sleep with my maidservant, the Egyptian maidservant that I brought from Egypt. Her name is Hagar. And you will sleep with her and we will have a baby through her. And that will be the plan. And then everything that we hoped and dreamed for will come to fruition. Abraham, I shared this at the Woman to Woman Mirror Mirror Worship Day last year because it was all about Hagar, funnily enough. At this point, Abraham could have said, as the spiritual head of this household, my dear darling wife, that is a wonderful idea that you have, and thank you for thinking about that, but this isn't God's will. No. God's promised us, darling, that he's going to come through for us. So what we'll do is, we'll continue to pray, and we'll continue to wait. No. That's not what happens. Abraham decides, okay, Sarah, Let's go with your plan. And he sleeps with Hagar, and she conceives a child. Hagar is then treated, you know this if you were at the worship day last year, she's treated badly by Sarah because you see, all her dreams did not come true. Because this was not God's plan. Because our sin will take us further than we ever intended to go and will cost us more than we ever intended to pay. And this only led to heartbreak because this was not God's way and this was not God's promise. She resented the child. She was jealous of Hagar. She mistreated Hagar. Hagar ran away. She ran into the wilderness. It's in the wilderness Hagar meets with God and reminds her that he's El Roy, the God who sees her. He then encourages her to go back. And the baby is born. And the baby is called Ishmael. Now this was not God's plan. This was not the child of promise. And Abraham and Sarah once again have been completely disobedient. However, even though they've messed up, even though they tried to play God, let me reveal to you now, God still shows up. And in chapter 17, God returns to them. And do you know what he does? He reminds them once again of his promise, of his actual promise to them. Now, you would imagine, wouldn't you? They've messed up so big this time that that would cancel out God's promise. But no. You see, God promised them and he is the promise keeper. So verse 3, chapter 17, Abraham fell face down and God said to him, as for me, this is my covenant with you. This is my promise. You will be the father of many nations. No longer will you be called Abraham. Thank goodness we're going to get a change of name now. No longer will you be called Abraham. Your name will be Abraham. For I have made you the father of many nations. And then to Sarai, verse 5, God also said to Abraham, as for Sarai, your wife, you are no longer to call her Sarai, for her name will be Sarah, and I will bless her and will surely give you a son by her. I will bless her so that she will be the mother of nations. Kings of peoples will come from her, not from Hagar, not from a DIY plan. No, they will come from her. So not only is God faithful, not only does God remain faithful to this couple, but God remains faithful to the promise. Did you hear that? That should have got a big fat amen. God remains faithful to the promise. He confirms to them yet again, this is the plan, dear child, that I have for your life. Stop trying to go off course. I know it might be taking longer than you anticipated or dreamed or hoped, but I have a plan for you. It's for you. Your name is written all over it. How many times have we been here? How many times has God been faithful to us when we've been faithless? That's where they were. They were faithless. But God remained faithful because he keeps his promise. God keeps his promise not because of us, not because of anything that we do or don't do. He keeps his promise because that is who he is. That is who you are. That is who you are. That is who you are. It's who he is. He is the promise keeper because that's in his nature. That's his very being, his very character. If he has promised you, no matter how much you've messed up, no matter how much you've tried to engineer or change the plan, he's not going to change the plan because he made the promise to you. Chapter 21, we're getting there. We see that the promise, hallelujah, is fulfilled. They have that son. They call him Isaac. Let me tell you what Isaac means. Isaac means laughter. He turned their sorrow into joy. Amen. Even though God answered and delivered, sadly, there were still consequences. Remember the other son. The son that Abram had with Hagar, Ishmael. Let me fast forward the story a wee bit for you. The brothers grow up. And the Bible says that Ishmael persecuted little Isaac. It's a bit like the battle that still rages and continues today between the Arab and Israeli nations. And this relationship between these two brothers is in actual fact an allegory of what takes place between our old and our new natures. You see, the two boys reflect the old and the new. And the Bible mentions it, Paul mentions it in the book of Galatians. Let me read it to you. I think it's Galatians. It should come up on the screen. Tell me, you who want to be under the law, are you not aware of what the law says? For it is written that Abraham had two sons, one by the slave woman and one by the free woman. His son by the slave woman was born according to the flesh. That's the old nature. But his son by the free woman was born as a result of a divine promise. These things are being taken figuratively. The women represent two covenants. One covenant is from Mount Sinai and bears the children who are to be slaves. This is Hagar, the Egyptian maidservant. Now Hagar stands for Mount Sinai in Arabia and corresponds to the present city of Jerusalem because she is in slavery with her children. But Jerusalem that is above is free, and she is our mother. For it is written, be glad, barren woman. You who never bore a child, shout for joy and cry aloud, you who were never in labor, because more are the children of the desolate woman than of her who has a husband. Now you brothers and sisters, like Isaac, are children of promise. And that time the son born according to the flesh persecuted the son born by the power of the Spirit. It is the same now. But what does Scripture say? Get rid of the slave woman and her son, for the slave woman's son will never share in the inheritance with the free woman's son. The two cannot live together. Do you see that? Do you see this allegory? The old nature, the old fleshy nature cannot live alongside the new. Therefore, brothers and sisters, we are not children of the slave women, but of the free women. We are free. And who the Son sets free is free indeed. So we no longer can be controlled and ruled by the old ways and the old order of things and the old habits. Do you see? So the battle continues with the two boys. They cannot live happily alongside each other because our old natures cannot live happily and content with a new creation inside of us. So Abraham and Sarah have to do something about it. And oh, it's a really sad bit of the story, and we get ourselves in a fankle about, oh, this wee boy has to be sent out of the camp. But it is a picture of the old and new. And Ishmael and Hagar are released. They are cast out. It's the comparison between the two boys is the comparison of our old nature and our new. Our Ishmael is our old fleshy nature, and our Isaac is our new created nature in Christ. And the old sinful nature is trying to persecute the new creation within you. And the only way we can be sure that that does not happen is to cast it out. So let me ask you the question as we finish up now. What of your old nature is trying to destroy the new within you? What of your old ways, your old habits, your old standards, mindsets, behaviors are still trying to pull you back and pull you down? How do we break that cycle? Well, we need to choose simply what we feed. What are you going to feed? This is an intentional thing. You need to do this daily at times. The old nature cannot be resurrected, refurbished, upcycled, or restored. No, it cannot live alongside. Don't allow Satan to trick you into thinking it's okay. It's just one thought. It's just given in once. They cannot live together in harmony. One will persecute the other. One will win over the other. We need to ensure as women of God that we embrace the new. So we need to intentionally choose Jesus. We need to intentionally choose the Jesus way. So the next time you're sitting in a traffic jam, there's been a lot of traffic jams lately because lots of roadworks. Next time you're sitting in a traffic jam, you can choose to have road rage. The old you may have had road rage, beeping your horn, get a move on, a few bad words coming out. Or you can choose the new nature inside you to say, do you know what? I'm going to put on my CD or I'm going to put on my Spotify worship songs and I'm going to use this queue of traffic to praise God. That's us choosing the new creation inside of us. The next time we're in the shoe shop, we're going to say to ourselves, I'm going to choose not to buy you shoes because I'm going to be a better steward of the money that God has given me. The next time you want to slag that person off, as soon as you get in the car after church service, see here. We're going to choose. You might not like them, let's be honest. They might get in your nerves, that's all right. You don't need to like everybody. You're commanded to love. You're commanded to love everybody. So they might get in your nerves. You might not like them. They may be fake. That might be the reality. But let's not get into the car 5 minutes after you've been in here praising and worshipping God and slag them rotten. Let's choose instead the new in us and pray blessing in the name of Jesus over my sister. I release blessing over her. She annoys me, God, but I pray blessing over her in the name of Jesus. We can choose not to engage in that text message, not to engage in that flirty conversation that we know is not good for us, not to have that one night stand, not to take the drink and drugs as a relief to soothe our pain. We can intentionally choose the new way, the new creation that's inside of you. We need to make old habits die in order to make new habits. It's a choice. As God's chosen, we are new creations in God's. He wants to develop our godly natures. He doesn't want us to struggle. He wants you to soar. That's the truth. Abraham, when he was talking with God, he soared. He did. He soared and he had a great relationship with God. But it was when Abraham slipped back into old ways and old habits did he struggle. When he tried to do it his way, when he messed up. What do we need to do then? Well, we need to choose the Isaac within us. We need to be filled with the laughter and the joy, filled with the promise of God. So, dear sister, as we close tonight, keep the faith. Hold on. Trust in God. What he has promised, he will be faithful. He will stand with you. He will come through for you. So trust him. Let's pray. Father God, we thank you for this evening. We thank you for your word to us, which is life. It is alive because Jesus, you are alive. And we thank you that we can trust in a living, breathing Savior. We thank you for your words that's filled with your promises to your children. And we can claim those promises for our lives and for our situations. For the ladies in the house tonight that are waiting, God, I pray in the name of Jesus and by the power of the Holy Spirit, that you would release a strength within them. That you would release a strength and a patience and a hope. I pray that you'd release it right now. That you would deposit it right now into their hearts and minds. That they would continue to hope in you, God. That they would continue to look to you. That you are faithful to your promise, Lord God. You are the promise keeper and the way maker. And we will continue, Lord God, to trust in you. Help us. Help us, Lord, to choose you. Help us to choose the new creation inside of us. Help us not to be swayed by the wind, distracted, pulled back into old ways. Help us, Lord, to cast them out in order to embrace all that is new in you. Because we want it, Lord. We hunger for it and we desire it. And this we pray tonight in the name of Jesus. Amen.